There. I want to start this morning by asking you an off-the-side question of how many of you have seen the movie Annie? Now, some of you are looking at me going, can you define that? Because there are three different Annie movies, which has always bothered me. The original 1982 version with the curly-haired Annie, how many of you have seen that one? That was the first one. That's the only real one in my mind. In 1999, there was a second one that came out. Annie had straight red hair, which just bothered me. How many of you have seen that one? I have not. And then there was one about 3 years ago in 2014, and was set in the modern day. There was some rapping in it and some other strange. How many of you have seen the 2014 version? Okay, so it seems like most of you agree with me that the original 1982 curly-haired Annie is the only one that really matters. I will tell you, though, I saw the 2014 version about a month and a half ago. It wasn't half bad, but it wasn't the original. But it was interesting. Somehow I got on this thought process this week. Don't ask me to explain how I think about things some weeks. But all three of them are very different. If you watch all three, they have very large differences. But they're also very similar, and they have the same storyline. In all three versions, there's an orphan who's living with a very bad guardian. And she gets fostered by a very rich guy and ends up adopting her. So the storyline is similar. The songs are all very much the same. The songs are the same, but the placements change. And so again, in my very weird line of thinking, I was thinking about the song Tomorrow. You're Always a Day Away, as the title of the sermon is today. And that song appears in all three movies, but at different points for different reasons. In the original 1982, it's late in the movie. Annie and Mr. Warbucks are in the office, in the president's office with FDR, and all of them sing together. You've got FDR and his wife singing, and she can't carry a tune, and they all sing Tomorrow. But in the 1999 version, it's towards the beginning of the movie when Annie finds her dog, Sandy. And for some reason, she sings about Tomorrow with the dog. And in the 2014 version, it's in the beginning with no dog. We just decide to cut back more and more. Again, it's a common song for all three movies. The theme is always the same. They're looking ahead, saying tomorrow we can place our hope in tomorrow. Things will get better tomorrow. And that's kind of the theme of the whole movie. Annie starts off in this really low place, and throughout by the end of the movie, she ends on a high. She's being adopted by a very rich person, and things are getting good. And I was thinking, as I looked into what James had to say this morning, thinking about tomorrow, how we kind of do the same thing. We forecast our future, we look at tomorrow and the next week and the next year, and we hope that things will get better. We begin to make plans on what we're going to do as life improves. Or even when things are good. Is that things are good now, but I'm excited to see what does tomorrow hold. And so the theme of the Tomorrow song in Annie is kind of our theme for this morning. When we look ahead, what does tomorrow hold? And it's in this looking and planning ahead that we find James's discussion today. How do we plan ahead? So for people like, say, Tanner, who graduated, he has plans on what he wants to do. What do you want to do tomorrow? What do you want to do next year? What do you want to do in your retirement? And we all have ideas. And James wants us to talk about how do we plan ahead and where are we looking as we look forward. So let's jump into James chapter 14. We only have a few verses today, but James wants to talk to us about how we plan. So James chapter 14, we'll read 13 to 15 to start. James says, "Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city and spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Why, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or do that." And so James starts us off this morning by challenging us on how we look at tomorrow. How do we look to the future? It's always a day away, as we sing through the song, but how do we plan for it? How do we approach our future? Again, we all have great expectation of what will happen in the future, where we're going to go on vacation this summer, what we're going to do next year with our kids. But how do we plan as we look to the future? Well, let's back up a minute and look at where James is taking us in the larger picture of his narrative. 2 weeks ago, we launched into this discussion about godly wisdom versus worldly wisdom. And we said that godly wisdom is focused on unity. How can we all live together? How can we live in peace? How can we be considerate of one another? On the flip side, worldly wisdom is focused on myself. How can I get ahead? And we looked at the Latin expression in curvitas and se, this idea of being curved in on ourselves, how we naturally focus on ourselves. And James said, you can live in godly wisdom where you're looking outward and trying to live in unity, or you can live in worldly wisdom, curved in, focused on yourself. And these are the only two options we have. And then he proceeded from that discussion to the essential characteristic of humility. And I wanted to thank Pastor Rick for speaking last week and sharing on humility with us as I was riding rides at Knoebels. But trust me, you guys have more fun, I'm sure. So James goes from this idea of worldly wisdom and godly wisdom, and he says you need to have humility. It's the essential part of all of this. To live with godly wisdom, to live pursuing unity, we must live in humility before God. In order to do that, we can't be curved in on ourselves. We have to be looking outward. We have to curve out to see God, to worship God, and to see the world. And from here, James gives us three specific ways that we tend to look inward. Three specific ways that we typically don't walk in humility. If humility is the essential characteristic that we need to live before God, to live in godly wisdom, he says, here are three ways that you don't typically do it. You naturally go the opposite direction. And Pastor Rick touched on one last week, and it was, how do we express ourselves? How do we relate to others? What do we say about others? The second area is how we relate to ordering our lives, how we plan ahead. And we're going to look at that today. And the third area that we naturally focus inward is how we relate to the use of the world's resources and goods. What do we do with money? And we'll look at that briefly next week. But in these three areas, James says, we naturally curve in. We naturally walk in this worldly wisdom, what's all about me and how do I get ahead? And so James gives us these three specific areas to challenge us to walk humbly. How can you walk humbly before God in these areas and curve outward, focusing on God and focusing on others? Now, it's not that these are the only three areas we curve inward on. See, sometimes James gives us specifics, and I go, ooh, if I can master those areas, then I'm okay. This is just the beginning of his list. These are probably, in his mind at least, the three starting points, the three that his audience struggled with the most, and we probably also struggle with the most. It all starts with humility before God, and that flows into our daily practice. So I want to spend today talking about planning ahead. And this is one of my favorite things to do. I love to plan ahead. I personally plan for everything, driving my wife nuts. Other people may say that I just overthink everything, but I like to have a plan. I love to be active. I like to do. And in order to do a lot, you need to have a plan. And so many a weekends, I can say, okay, today we're going to get up. I'm going to do this. If it rains, we'll go here instead. And I have a plan. I like planning. I'm struggling. We have a vacation planned for the end of August, and I'm already trying to plan out what we're going to do every day on the vacation. And Allison keeps reminding me, it's to relax. You don't need a plan. So when I come to this section in James, it's a short little section, but for me, it's one of the hardest sections. And so I want to talk this morning about what James tells us to do and share a couple personal examples of how I've not done it. I often plan ahead. It's my favorite thing to do, but I don't always stop to consult God's plan. I presume that I know best, and this is a fault that many of us fall into. And so in these verses, James identifies three areas that we make presumptions as we plan. As we all think ahead about what we're doing this summer or vacation or retirement, we all tend to make some presumptions. He starts by telling us, he says, we look at, quote, today, we look at tomorrow, we look at next year from now. We presume that our lives are our own. We presume that we choose life, that life is something we control. Yet ultimately, God gifts us each day. We don't know how many days we have left. And so James starts out and says, you presume that life is your own, but life is a gift from God. And so that's a starting point for us. He then adds that we decide to go here, do there, do this, or do that, and we identify that we presume that we are the masters to decide. We think we decide what we're going to do. Yet if we think reflectively, we know that God has purchased us with the blood of Christ, that we belong to God. And so sometimes we presume that it's up to our choice only. We don't have to think about what God wants us to do. And finally, James touches on our abilities. He says, you say, I'm going to go here and I'm going to trade. I'm going to do things. I'm going to do stuff that I'm good at. I'm going to make a profit. We presume that we can do it. As we look into our future, I think I'm going to be able to provide for a retirement. I think I'm going to provide for a vacation, provide for my families based on what I can do. Yet we need to remember that God gives us our abilities and God gives us our talents. God blesses us with resources. And so when we plan ahead, we, at least I personally, I know probably many of us, tend to think that it's within our own control. It's my life, it's my choice, and I can do it in my own abilities. And so these are the three areas that James identifies that we tend to presume as we look to the future. I like to plan. I know what I can do, and I know what I want to do. But do I look to God? The end of my junior year of college, as I was getting ready for summer, about this time of year, maybe a few weeks earlier, I knew that I wanted to serve God that summer. That sounds good, doesn't it? I wanted to serve God. I wanted to put my college education, my Bible college experience, I wanted to put it to good use. And so I came up with a list of what I wanted to do. Here are the things I would like to do this summer. I'd like to preach a little bit. I'd like to serve in some ministry area. I'd like to get more experience. I would like to serve. And I have my list. I want to get a summer internship doing these things. And so I made an appointment to meet with my Bible college advisor and say, here's the list of what I want to do. Do you know of any opportunities? Well, God was at work even without me consulting him, because that morning I had class with this teacher, this professor, before we were supposed to meet for lunch. And he starts class and he says, hey, before we get started today, I have an opportunity this summer. I just got off the phone with a pastor friend of mine. He's looking for an intern, and here's what they want the intern to do. It was like I had handed him my list. I was like, oh, this is awesome. Thank you, God. Again, I hadn't really talked to God much about it. It was the exact same list. Clearly, this is from God. I just had one question. Where is it? Well, you see, that was the one thing I hadn't put on my list, and that was the one thing I definitely had not prayed about, because the internship was in Altoona, which I had never heard of. Altoona is out in western Pennsylvania. It's only about 3 hours from here, but that was not at all what I wanted. I wanted to stay at home that summer. I wanted to be with Allison, my girlfriend. I wanted to spend time with my family and my friends, being in an area that I was comfortable with, and it dawned on me that I had never really consulted God with my plans. My plans sounded godly. I wanted to serve that summer. I wanted to get ministry experience. And clearly God wanted the same thing for me. It's just I didn't talk to him much. I had made several presumptions. And so I had the decision, do I move forward in God's plan, even though it doesn't quite match mine? And I ended up going that summer. It was an interesting experience leaving home and moving out to where I knew no one. But it redirected my life. That ministry opportunity changed where I saw God leading me and ultimately led to me doing some different things. And I think if had I not done it, I probably wouldn't be where I am today. It wasn't my plan, though. Parts of it were, but it wasn't fully my plan. And I learned that I need to consult God. I need to make less presumptions when I come to looking to tomorrow. Thankfully, I learned a bit in that process. And the next time, I did a little bit better. When Allison and I got married, many of you know that we moved to South Carolina a month later. And when we moved to South Carolina, I had nothing. There was no job for me. I had no friends. I had no connections. We were there for about 2 days, and Allison started having to go to orientation things that lasted 12 hours. And so I literally sat in our rental home, unpacking boxes by myself all day, every day. And I felt sure. We had prayed a lot about it. We had talked a lot about it. And I felt sure that God had called us to South Carolina. And I was waiting for his plan. I was trying to be very intentional about not making the same mistake, waiting to hear from God to know what he wanted me to do. Because I felt sure that this is what God wanted us as a couple to do. And then I jumped the gun. I was looking for jobs, looking for opportunities. And I came across a job opening at Chick-fil-A. It was an entry-level manager. And I had heard good things about Chick-fil-A. Now, there's several of them in the area now, but 6 years ago or 5 years ago, Chick-fil-A's were very rare up here. South Carolina, they're everywhere. And so I had heard good things. It was a Christian company. They really focused on leadership development. And as I looked at the job and I thought about what I was hoping to find, the opportunities, the areas I was hoping God would grow me in during the season, I thought, this isn't what I expected, but there's some potential here. So I thought, well, I'll apply. I got a phone call right away. They wanted to have me come in to an interview. I met with the owner of that location. He hired me on the spot. I thought, this clearly is from God. It's coming together so quickly. I just forgot to consult with him. I was hired on the spot because I had great food service background. I had great leadership potential. And 3 days later, I quit. I am not made to work in the food industry anymore. Just can't do it. And I had told Allison when we moved to South Carolina, I'm not going to do food industry anymore. And I jumped the gun. I tried to guess God's plan without going to God. And it didn't work. And thankfully, eventually, in God's perfect timing, it did work out. And God led me to ministry opportunities. And I had a great experience and a great shaping time as God prepared me for this position. But I had to learn, I can't presume my future without talking to God. And I don't know how many of you are like me. We think about our future, and we might pray about it, but we make these presumptions. And so James in these verses says, here's what you presume, but he also gives us some safeguards. So let's reread these verses and look at the safeguards that were in place as well. Again, James says, now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Well, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or do that. And so James starts and he says, you do not know what will happen. We need to recognize our own ignorance in the future. We don't know what's going to happen today, tomorrow, in a year. I don't know what's going to happen this afternoon. Allison and I were having a conversation before service about lunch today. I don't know what I'm having for lunch yet. I don't know the future. I'd like to, but I need to acknowledge that only God knows the future. And that's a starting point. As I look to the future, as I plan ahead, I need to remember that God knows the future and I can only guess. The second thing James says is he identifies us with the idea of being a vanishing mist. He says we are frail. In the grand scheme of time, we are so inconsequential. Say that word 5 times fast. Imagine when you wake up in the morning and it's foggy outside and within an hour it's all burned away. He says, this is what you are. You're a mist. You're here for a little while and then you're gone. Only God is eternal in this life. Yes, we have eternity with God, but in this life, God is the only thing that's eternal. And so we have to remember, even though I know what I want to do today or tomorrow or next year, it's such a short little space of time in God's overall plan, and that should bring some humility. And finally, James helps us by explaining our dependence on God. He says, you ought to say, if it is God's will. God, here's my plan. And it's okay to say, God, here's what I want to do, but acknowledge that it might change because God may do something different. And we need to remember, too, is because one thing when we come to these verses, it's very easy to go, hey, James is telling us we can't plan ahead. We shouldn't plan ahead. Well, that's not what he's saying. We can plan ahead. We just need to consult God. And we need to leave room if God wants to change things. So many times we come to church on Sunday, we say, well, today is God's day. Today I will come, I'll go to Sunday school, I'll worship, I'll hear the sermon, I'll go home and reflect, and Sunday is God's day. But when I hit Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, that's my time. So as long as God has Sunday, he can lead me all he wants on Sunday, but the rest of the week is mine. And we may not actually verbalize that, but subconsciously I think many of us are there because we don't leave room often for God to move during the week, to change our plans. We can plan ahead, and I would dare say that we should plan ahead. It's good to have an idea of what your plans are. But are we presuming our own life and our own choices based on our own abilities? Or are we coming humbly before God, admitting we are ignorant of the future, that we are frail and we are dependent on Him? One of the great theologians of the past, John Calvin, as he considered this passage, he agreed that we should plan ahead. He noted, quote, "We read everywhere in Scripture that the holy servants of God spoke unconditionally about future things, when yet they had it as a fixed principle in their minds that they could do nothing without the permission of God." And this is where we should fall. We know what we want to do in the future. We have plans as we move forward, but we understand it's only by God's grace. And if God would want us to change, we should be open and willing to do that. We see this in Scripture. Specifically, I thought of the Apostle Paul this week. In the book of Acts, chapter 16, we see Paul traveling around the known world, preaching the gospel and bringing Jesus to the masses. And we read, starting at verse 6, "Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, 'Come over to Macedonia and help us.' After Paul had seen the vision, he got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them." And this is such a short little part of Acts, we tend to kind of skip over it almost. Because we see Paul and his group, and they know they want us to preach the gospel ever, and we see them traveling. But you notice as they go along, he says, "We wanted to go here, but the Holy Spirit won't let us. And as we were about to enter here, the Spirit of Jesus stopped us. And we ended up going to Macedonia, realizing that God had called us there." We see Paul and his companions having plans. They set their agenda, but they were open and willing to let the Spirit change their plans. Why would God not let them go to these places? I have no idea. Paul probably had no idea. God knew, but he wasn't telling. And we need to recognize that God is in control. As we look to our future, God is in control and we are dependent on him. James's point in this whole section here is not that we can't plan, but that we need to do so with humility. And this brings us back to what James has been bringing us through, that as we try to live in godly wisdom, it starts with humility. And when we plan ahead, this is an area we struggle to be humble. We need to plan ahead with humility, not to be curved in on ourselves, but to look out and look up to see what God wants us to do. And James transitions from this idea of planning ahead to remind us that the broader issue is our arrogance. Just picking up at James chapter 4, verse 16 and 17, he continues, he says, "As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. If anyone then knows what good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them." It's one thing for us to plan ahead. It's one thing for us to say, "Hey, tomorrow I'm hoping to go to the beach. Next week I'm hoping to go here. And when I retire, I hope to move to Florida." It's one thing to plan ahead. It's another thing to boast in those things, to brag about our future, to think you've got it all figured out. To say, "When I get to this point in my life, I will go here, no matter what." There's arrogance in that statement. And this is the evil that James identifies. This arrogance is the opposite of the humility James is leading us to. He says, if you want to live humbly before God, don't be arrogant in your future. Allow an openness. I would like to retire in Florida, but God may move me to Alaska to live in the snow the rest of my life. I don't know. And so James says, don't be arrogant, but submit yourself humbly to God's plans. And then James drops perhaps the hardest statement yet, as he goes a bit broader in this. He says, if you know what good thing you should do, and you don't do it, for you that is sin. And this is probably one of the hardest statements to put into practice within my own life. Because all through the book, all through James's letter, his sermon, he's been looking at sins of commission. Don't do this. Don't do this. Don't do X, Y, and Z. And there's some easy application. As long as I don't do those things, I'm okay. But now James points out this idea of sins of omission. things I should have done. It's very easy for me to avoid doing the wrong things. But James says, if you see a good thing you should do, if you see the little old lady and you don't help her cross the street, even though you saw her, you've just sinned by doing nothing. Now that's a challenge for us. We've been talking over and over again in James to see a need and act on it, because it's the right thing to do. And James says, if you see a need and you don't do anything about it, if you just ignore, if you just turn the other way, you're not hurting anyone. But if you see a need and you don't do it, James says, that's a sin. And so we begin to see this broader picture of what James has been trying to teach us over the last several chapters. He's saying we need to live in godly wisdom by coming humbly before God. We need to admit our dependence on God, even in our day-to-day living. Not only by avoiding the wrong things, but going out of our way to do the right things. Again, it's really easy for us to look at the list of don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, and you're okay. But as soon as you see something you should do, and you just decide, oh, I'll do it tomorrow or the next time I see it, he says, now you're also struggling in sin. And as we think about this idea of planning ahead with dependence on God, what better way to acknowledge God's control of your life and God's control of your plans than to be willing to change them when you see something that needs to be done to help someone? Again, reiterating where we've been, we keep talking how our faith should lead to action. The overflow of our heart should show that God is at our center through our words, through our deeds. And so James is saying the overflow of our hearts, our faith, should pour out in us being willing to change our course when God calls us to. So what are you planning for tomorrow? What are you hoping is going to happen tomorrow? It's going to be 90-some degrees, the sun will be shining. Maybe you're thinking about being at the pool tomorrow. Have you laid your plans humbly before God? God, you know, I would love to do this tomorrow. I'd love to do this next year. I would love to do this in retirement. Are you willing to move a different direction if God would so speak? Are you open to God's leading in where to go and what to do? Or are you trying to be in control? Again, this is an area that I struggle with. And as I was finalizing the sermon, I thought, well, I sound like I'm doing pretty well here. I've shared some experiences, how I learn. And I had a moment, was it yesterday or 2 days ago, where I just went, you know, I probably am not as far along in this process as I think I am. And I think that's probably for many of us. We know what we want to do. We think we know what we can do. But we need to acknowledge that God may move us differently. And we need to be open to that and be humbly submissive to God in doing that. Because today, tomorrow, next year, whatever time frame you're looking at, it all belongs to God. And so we need to listen and go where he leads us. Would you pray with me this morning? God, we have exciting plans for our future. We know what we want to do and where we want to go and who we want to do it with. But God, we also know that those are our plans. And our lives are not our own. You have purchased us with the blood of Christ on the cross of Calvary. You have redeemed us through Jesus' sacrifice. We belong to you, God, and our lives are yours. Every action, every word, every deed that we do, God, should flow for our love and our devotion of you. And so, God, when we think about the future, we need to acknowledge that it belongs to you. And so this morning, Lord, I pray you would forgive me. You would forgive us for the times that we have planned ahead without even considering your will. Lord, help us to open ourselves up to hear your plans, to come before you humbly and give our lives to you today, tomorrow, and for every year to come. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.